The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good evening. Merry Christmas. We say that here on this show. And welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy you joined us tonight at your local liberal resistance headquarters, our final show before the Christmas holiday. Thrilled to have you with us, where we love to annoy the left. It's sort of a Yuletide passion. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Got a great show for you this evening. Former presidential legal advisor John Eastman will be with us to discuss how Trump and conservatives have been victimized by lawfare. Wichita Mayor Lily Wu will be live with us here in studio here at the bottom of this hour to talk about some of the recent activity with the Wichita City Council, including this week's illegal camping ordinance. We'll talk with Denitri Herbert about her campaign for chair of the Kansas Republican Party and the recent news that the Kansas GOP's 2025 state convention may be held all the way out in Goodland. Hope it doesn't snow. Bill Pasco from Tea Party Patriots Action will join us to discuss Joe Biden's attempt to sell off parts of the border wall. they're on the way out. Do as much damage as they can. And we'll review the recently released record-setting abortion statistics released by the state of Kansas with Danielle Underwood from Kansans for Life. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Real quick, a special Merry Christmas message to Teresa out in Kingman. I had the pleasure of speaking to the Kingman County GOP last week, and Teresa was, we met in the parking lot, and I love it when I have an opportunity to meet and greet my listeners, and it was a great time out in Kingman, and I wanted to wish a very Merry Christmas to Teresa.
And a Merry Christmas from me as well.
Right, you're a Kingman guy.
I'm a Kingmanite.
Kingmanite.
I just made that up.
So. Well, hey, it works. But anyway, Merry Christmas, Teresa. It's a pleasure to meet you as well. So, all right, folks. So last week we did our annual 12 days of Christmas. So tonight I want to help you out. I want to give you some advice. Christmas is a special time to come together with friends and family and celebrate all we have to be thankful for. However, this process becomes very difficult when a woke liberal family member crashes the Christmas party. So here at the John Whitmer Show, we wanted to share with you a few tricks for how to survive the holidays when woke liberal family members join the festivities. So first, you know, remember that much like plants need water, liberals need a safe place to survive. So it's important for you to move all your conservative books and memorabilia from the house to make sure that they feel welcome, because we don't want to trigger them. So put away all the MAGA hats and the Reagan biographies so that they feel welcome. But many things about Christmas can be triggering for liberals, so make sure you prepare yourself not to microaggress them during this stressful time. So we wanted to give you 10 things, handy tips, to help you deal with a liberal family member at the holiday season. So, number one, avoid any mention of the word Christmas. Instead, say holiday season or winter solstice celebration. Christmas, after all, is a microaggression for liberals, while seasonal observance is gender neutral. It's non-denominational, non-binary, and free of any dangerous capitalist underpinnings. If you must mention Christmas, refer to it as that time when people exchange socially responsible, eco-friendly gifts and redistribute wealth. That's easier for the snowflakes to handle. Number two, here's a big one these days. No red hats allowed. A red hat, especially a MAGA hat, is an immediate trigger. Even if it's just a Santa hat, that red color can evoke feelings of oppression and the patriarchy, so opt for a rainbow stocking hat instead, perhaps one stitched by an illegal immigrant, or pastel-colored beanies would be even better, as it's a neutral shade that promises unity and harmony in our woke society. Bonus points if it's made of organic, cruelty-free yarn. Number three, don't mention family. The concept of a nuclear family is so passé anyway, and let's not even bring up traditional values. Say chosen family instead. That way you can include everyone from your neighbor who identifies as a vegan to your friend who's busy self-identifying as non-binary or a Christmas tree or a Yeti or something like that. Number four, no silent night or joy to the world. Christmas carols can be problematic. Silent night could reinforce silence as a tool of the oppressive masculine patriarchy, while joy to the world might exclude those who feel oppressed or feel like there's a world domination by men. Opt instead for a reimagined carol like Everyone's Feelings Matter or Holidays Are All Equal. And for God's sake, under no circumstances can you ever play that 1940s classic Baby It's Cold Outside. Liberals believe it started the Me Too movement, and that's a major trigger for many of them. Next, avoid any gifts that could be construed as too materialistic. That fancy gift card, it's capitalistic and exclusionary. A pair of socks made from recycled plastic instead. That's the way to go. Or offer a book by a marginalized author that includes a certificate for consciousness-raising workshop in a gift bag. A hemp gift bag, of course. Next, don't even mention Santa. Santa Claus is a patriarchal figure who promotes body shaming by expecting individuals to leave milk and cookies out for him, but only him. I mean, why does Santa get to eat cookies, but we can't? Instead, tell the kids that the great gift giver, a gender-neutral, non-binary, eco-friendly gift exchange facilitator, will be arriving via sustainable sleigh powered by wind energy, and he will be bestowing gifts upon them. Keep Christmas decorations inclusive. That beautiful Christmas tree, well, it's not inclusive. Let's opt for a decorative evergreen equality plant adorned with colorful rainbow-colored ornaments that represent every culture, gender, and ideology. No stars or angels, heaven forbid. Can't have angels, though, because those are religious symbols, and we must respect every belief system, so go with a universally neutral sunburst or something like that. Be careful with your holiday meal. No Christmas ham, that's triggering. Pork is problematic. In its place, you should serve an assortment of locally sourced, gluten-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, cruelty-free, and sustainably farmed plant-based products, like tofu, for example. Do not mention anything related to patriotism. Christmas isn't about the flag or American values. These are associated with oppression and imperialism. Instead, host a discussion group on the importance of globalism, and for whatever you do, don't mention America and greatness. And finally, Remember to offer an apology before anything starts. You should begin by issuing an apology to anyone who may feel triggered by the mere presence of your holiday gathering. Acknowledge the trauma that may be associated with Christmas decorations, carols, or even the scent of pine. Make sure your apology includes a disclaimer that all activities are optional and that participation is absolutely voluntary and free of judgment of any kind. Because after all, we want to be fair, equitable, and inclusive. Because anything else would, of course, be not appropriate to not include everyone in our Christmas celebrations. Here's wishing you a winter solstice celebration or seasonable observance. Best of luck to you. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk with Denadri Herbert about her campaign for chair of the Kansas Republican Party and the recent news that the 2025 GOP state convention may be held in Goodland. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. It's a community of millions of concerned citizens just like you, advocating for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, it looks like we finally know when the Spring Kansas Republican Party Convention will be held. It'll be the weekend of February 28th and March Saturday. That's the Friday the 28th and Saturday, March 1st. The where has been kept a secret for some reason. It looks like it's going to be, for some reason, I don't know why, in Goodland, Kansas. Maybe Denadri will tell us. And with us now is Denadri Herbert. She is, as far as I know, the only slate. She's the running for chair of the Kansas Republican Party. Denadri, thank you for joining us this evening, and have a wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, John. Thanks for having me.
Oh no, my pleasure. So maybe you can answer. Obviously, we all know that the party rotates the location of the conventions through the four congressional districts. This time, it's in the Big First, but you know, that could be Goodland, but it could also be Hayes, it could be Hutchinson, it could be Salina, McPherson, where it's been in both of those cities. For that matter, it could be Lawrence. Why
right.
Goodland?
Your guess is as good as mine. As you know, I've worked on three major statewide campaigns, and I love going out to Western
yep.
Kansas.
Like, I've been there myself. Yep. Kansas.
Yeah, oh, I know you have on yeah. the bus tours.
Yes, you have ridden on the bus that I've driven out there twice now. Yes, you know.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But it doesn't make sense to do it in Goodland. It's our population centers in Kansas are obviously on the eastern half of the state. I would love to actually have folks out to Goodland, but in the winter when they close I-70 regularly between Salina and Denver, it just doesn't seem smart to have a winter meeting in the middle, you know, at the end of February, early March, when high risk of storms that will close the interstate, a meeting that we must have per our bylaws, have 180 people minimum, that's the size of the state committee, traveling out to Goodland. And I looked through the delegates who have been elected so far, and in the first district, which has 39 delegates, it looks like four are within a half hour, four delegates and alternates. I think one actual delegate and three alternates are from within 30 minutes of Goodland, and everyone else is from further away. And almost everyone else, like the vast, vast majority, is from 5 to 6 hours away. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a 5-hour drive from Wichita. And, you know, then you've got folks in Pittsburgh. You've got obviously Johnson County, Dodge City. No matter how you spin it, it's not a convenient drive. And you're right, weather could be an issue, which then begs the question, is this designed for, and I'm maybe a cynic, maybe I'm just being cynical here, pessimistic, but it seems like there's also almost an attempt to suppress voter turnout, which is ironic considering Mike Brown ran on a platform of election integrity.
Well, I don't want to guess anyone's motives, but I don't see the logic in doing it there at this time. I will just say that. It doesn't make sense. And I even think, you know, I love the convention every year. It's a great opportunity to connect with old friends and to make new ones. We often have a lot of folks who are just new to the party, starting to figure out how to get involved and what they can do and meet the people and get to know our elected officials. And I wonder, we always have a big dinner, the Bob Dole dinner. They bring in a speaker.
Right.
They're going to fly them into Denver and then drive them 3 hours in. It just doesn't make sense. And then our allies, like Kansans for Life,
the lunch,
Eisenhower series. Usually try, these different groups try to do some things out there. I'm not sure there's venues that will allow us to do all of those things. It might be a great location for a summer meeting, but I'm not sure it's the best place for an annual convention.
That is a question. I don't know if there's a facility that can accommodate, because you're right. We do. Yes, there are only 200 or so delegates, but you get a lot of people who also attend. You've got media that attends. There's also folks that just like to attend the convention. I've seen them get upwards of 300, 350 for the banquets, the Lunch for Life. You mentioned Kansans for Life. They do the Lunch for Life. That can get a big crowd. And yet, I don't know if there's a venue out there. I don't know what the hotel accommodations are like out in Goodland. And again, you're right. We don't want to speculate as to motive here, but it's just interesting. I'm hoping there's time to change it. There's still time to correct it. Nothing's written in stone. There's lots of places else that we could do it, even if they just moved it to Hayes or someplace in Manhattan.
Right.
But hopefully there'll be pressure brought to bear to change it. We're talking with Denedre Herbert, who is a candidate for the state chair of the Kansas Republican Party. Let me ask you about that, Denedre. I know, again, you've got one person from each congressional district. We all know who you picked from the fourth congressional district. A good buddy of mine, I got my start with him, is Andy Hoosier, correct?
That's correct. Andy's great. And I think he has a radio show on a competing station.
He does, but we still love him.
So folks can maybe catch both shows or listen to, you know, catch the internet version if they're so inclined, instead of missing a show on their favorite station. But yes, so you know Andy Hoosier. And then the rest of my team is Amanda Schleyer. She's fairly new. She's been working on rebuilding the party in Hayes, so in Ellis County. She's the vice chair there. And then Roger Lomshek is my treasurer.
Okay, I know Roger.
He's from Pittsburgh, and he's a wealth of knowledge, and he has been instrumental in helping rebuild the party in Crawford County. Crawford County, for those of you who don't remember, was blue as much as, you know, as recently as 10 years ago. And they slowly picked away. And I think this last election, they finally knocked off their last countywide Democrat. So they have flipped that entire county from blue to red. And so I'm excited to have him on board and share with the rest of us across the state what they did, how they did it, best practices to do that in some other tough districts. So.
What's your goal? As far as I know, I have not heard of, and you know, I don't know if I think there's, we have, the Sedgwick County hasn't done our reorg yet. We do that. I believe it's the 4th or the 8th. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
I have the 4th on my calendar.
Yep, 4th. That's right. It is the 4th, Saturday the 4th. I've seen the slate, so I think I'm delegate, but what I have not heard of anyone else who is running for chair. Have you heard of any opposition?
I have heard rumors. And then Chairman Brown has, in the last couple of months anyway, though not in the last few weeks or so, he has often said in his Friday file that in his next term he will do XYZ. But as far as I know, he hasn't formally announced plans to run again, and he hasn't announced his slate or if that would change if he does run again. I've also heard rumors of folks thinking about it. you know, recruiting folks are thinking about it. But as far as I know, none of them have gotten off the ground. So we'll see. Well, it would be nice to be elected by acclamation, but I'm willing to work, run my way through the tape and do the hard work to get there if I have a challenge. So.
Well, that's the way you every election has to be. You run like you're 5 points behind, as they say.
Exactly.
If folks are interested, if they have questions for you, if they want to know how you'd handle a particular thing, if they've got questions, they want information, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
I'm going to say friend me on Facebook. My name is spelled D-A-N. E-D-R-I. I'm probably the only one. The last one's Herbert, if you need a last name. But Dimitri Herbert, you can ask me questions on the back end of Facebook, and I will return your friend request if you just send me a note saying, hey, I'm an interested Republican and want to get involved. That's one of my high priorities. If I win, I want to bring in new voices, fresh blood, rejuvenate us. I mean, we're obviously the Republican Party is in awesome shape. We want a supermajority. We've got the presidency. But we've got a governor's race to win, and I really think that President Trump is going to bring more, you know, build our coalition, and I want to be a part of that. I want everyone to feel welcome and have a place and know what they need to do to get involved. So,
well, Dimitri,
however I can.
I wish you all the best, and tangentially to that, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And, of course, give your give my best to your boss, if you will, please.
I will do that. And hey, John, you have a Merry Christmas, too.
Likewise. Thank you again. Best of luck to you. We'll take a quick break, and then Mayor Lily Wu will join us live in studio to talk about some of the recent activity with the Wichita City Council. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I guarantee you my wife will text me now that we've played that song. Did you miss a part of last week's John Whitmer Show? Don't worry about it. We got you covered. We post clips from all our shows online. We also post single hours, segments from each episode, as well as highlights. You can find all of that on links to it on our Facebook page, as well as all you have to do is download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And, of course, while you're there, just like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and through social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, it's that time of year. Want to remind you, we are looking for sponsors for the John Whitmer Show. If you are interested in sponsoring the John Whitmer Show in 2025, you can email tony@knssradio.com. Speaking of which, don't forget, starting in January, one Sunday a month, we'll be broadcasting live from Topeka. That starts January 12th, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. Well, the Wichita City Council has been very busy lately, with multiple late night and record-setting long sessions. With us now to recap some of their most recent work is Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. Madam Mayor, thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us.
Merry Christmas to you and yours.
So let me start with what just the most recent, which is the I want to make sure I call it what the illegal camping ordinance. I actually watched this. I was at my office and I put it on in the background. There were some interesting comments that came from the floor, and I was glad to see there were a few conservatives and business owners that came out to express the other side, but there were also some from the wailing and gnashing of teeth crowd. But really, this had to be done. But one of the things that I appreciated that you and Dalton and Becky Tuttle even pointed out was this isn't, you actually lowered the fines. You actually made this less harsh for the homeless, while at the same time protecting businesses.
So a lot of folks didn't know this, but the illegal camping ordinance has been around since 2013.
Right. It's already on the books.
Yes. So this is really a revision to the 2013 ordinance. So the original ordinance, the one that's still in effect at this current moment, allows for someone to have a 72-hour notice before their items can be removed. Now, the new ordinance or the revised ordinance allows for 48-hour notice. So a reduction in the time, as well as the places that are of high public safety concern. That's in front of sidewalks, in front of doorways.
Overpasses, things like
that. Underneath bridges, exactly. Playgrounds, the new multi-agency center. Those will get immediate cleanup. But when we say immediate, it really means an officer will talk to this individual and say, hey, there is a shelter available. There are beds available. You need to go there versus camp out here in front of a sidewalk. So I think people didn't understand that part. The other part is about penalties. Now, the current ordinance allows for $500 fine. This new one or revised one lowers it to $200. In addition, you can use community service to pay off that fine. So it really allows for that individual to have accountability, but also allows the judge to have more freedom. An individual does not have to pay the $200 fine. It could be a $0 fine if the judge deems that
up to the discretion of the judge.
Correct.
And that's the way it should have been. And, you know, people, I watched a lot of the footage, and I think they were really just trying to, frankly, play to your heartstrings. And this is a tough decision. And I remember listening to Dalton talk about, and he's, I know Dalton very well, and I know he's a person of faith, as are you. And both of you talked about, you know, this is a tough decision. I know you and I talked about this. You prayed over this decision because it's not easy. Nobody wants to throw these people out or clean the streets.
And that's not the intention.
No.
The intention is not to do sweeps. This
right.
is not an intention to get people really. What it is meant to do is to remind people that we have a new shelter
right.
that has 266 beds available. There are beds available in the community, and we're trying to connect those individuals to get indoors, because I don't believe it's compassionate to see individuals
to let them be
in this cold
no.
weather just living outdoors like this when there are shelter beds available.
Yes,
and again, the city has spent a record number of dollars. Nearly $13 million has been invested into this facility that will allow for not just sheltering 24/7, but also connection to resources. So there are lots of nonprofits in this community that do great work. Union Rescue Mission is a great example. Union Rescue only focuses on men, but they allow for sheltering as well as transitional housing. So transitional housing allows for 3 months to 6 months of programming to really get that individual back connected to resources, training, and then have the opportunity to become an individual that can get a job in the community. And so we need sheltering, we need transitional housing, and then we need affordable housing. So we do need to encourage more housing in our community. That is what's lacking in the community. But this is just one step. So
right.
I think that this illegal camping ordinance was just one piece of that puzzle. We have heard it from community that homelessness is one of the priorities that they want us to help be a part of. And so we're trying to play our part in helping with having a compassionate sheltering piece, but also helping with the enforcement piece to really get those individuals to those shelters.
Well, you have to, and you have to also be mindful of the businesses and their rights to not have folks camped out in front of their businesses. But I also like what you were saying there about it's not just to help out, it's a help up. Helping them to transition to permanent housing, to a job, to so that you're trying to do more than just move them along.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Trying to move
this
them
is
up.
A hand up.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
The multi-agency center, it's really a navigation piece, and that will be coming along. Right now, the shelter piece just opened up about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And they're already wanting to work with partners. One of those partners is Project Hope. Project Hope helps connect people to resources, and they will have a presence inside that shelter. So the more organizations that come on board and get inside that building to connect with these individuals to help them, again, launch into what they need in their lives, whether it's, you know, if it's mental health needs, drug habilitation needs, there are going to be resources that are going to be inside that MAC.
I know, you know, this is, we're talking about a lot of expense related. By the way, we're talking with Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. I know you are, you in particular, and Dalton, to both of your credit, have been also very mindful of the budget. It's been another issue that has been on, a lot of people have been talking about it, you know, particularly with things that come up like $1.2 million of art out at the new water treatment plant. I know Becky Tuttle and I had went round and round about that the other day in a private conversation, not, you know, not online. I won't have her come on the radio to talk about it, but we could debate that for hours. But this has to be very difficult for you, because I know at the one time you're trying to deliver core services, and at the other hand, you're dealing with a projected budget shortfall. Is this really what you signed up for? Is it what you were expecting?
No. So I knew about this budget deficit, and I've been trying to remind this community that we have priorities. They've asked me to promise that I will prioritize what the community really needs. They asked us about public safety. They want to know that there are officers when they call 911 that they will be available. So my focus has been on those core services, public safety, police, fire, public works. Now, when it comes to things like public bathrooms, like the $600,000 public bathrooms,
Portland
or
potties,
the $1.2 million in public art for three pieces in front of the water treatment plant, I actually questioned all of those things.
I know you did.
Throughout this entire year, because I knew that we had a budget deficit that was right in the horizon. So therefore, that needed to be talked about. How can we reduce some of those things that are niceties while we need to focus on the needs? So again, it's needs versus wants. And I think that when we really ask the community, they want us to focus on the things that local government should be good at, which is providing that public safety, providing those safe streets so that you can get to work and to school.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the point that I tried to make with others of your colleagues, was the issues of need versus wants. It'd be different if you were sitting on a surplus. But when, you know, when it's just like the way it works with a family budget, when times are tight, maybe you cut the cable bill, or you get rid of the premium channels, or you cut back on, you know, you're buying skim milk instead of whatever. I mean, you know how it works. Honey, this week we can't do juice boxes. It's just, that's the way it works. You get a 6-pack of eggs instead of a 14-pack. That's how it works.
And not only that, so we work not just on the yearly budget, so it has to be balanced in order for it to pass. And I will remind the community that they asked me not to raise taxes. So therefore,
for your own paycheck,
vote,
by the way. Yeah.
And yes, I also voted. I wanted not to get that pay increase. So I voted in line with what I promised this community. And I'm trying to keep my promises. But we also have to be mindful that when we also talk about the budget, they also talk about the capital improvement project, which is 10 years worth of more capital intensive needs. In that conversation, we really need to focus more on maintaining what we have. And maintenance has not been the priority. Building new has been somewhat of the thing that other people have wanted. For me, it's about maintaining what we have. We have current assets. We have buildings that some are sitting empty. Let's take, for instance, the Central Library in downtown Wichita. So we need to be mindful that we need to take care of what we have first before we start building new. In addition, I think it's about collaboration moving forward. I really think that there are some opportunities between city and county, and we need to have better conversations between the two of us. And so I'm really grateful that I've had the opportunity to work with Chairman Beatty. And at that same time, it was Pro Tem Sarah Lopez and myself with Vice Mayor Ballard. The four of us have met on a monthly basis. And then moving forward next year, we'll meet with the new group. But I think it's those conversations to get us to more of the idea of sharing some services. MABCD is a great example. Construction details now come through both city and county in one building, versus back in the day, you had to go to two different parts of government. So I think that we have to start thinking more about sharing services and being more efficient as a government. So I'm really excited about what could come.
I'm up on my quarter break. Do you mind sticking around? We'll talk about what you're looking forward to next year. Well, you're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We're talking with Mayor Lily Wu. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. The folks at AFP believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity. AFP is a community of millions of concerned citizens just like you, advocating for solutions based on proven principles. Join them. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And don't forget, it's that time of year again. We're looking for sponsors for the John Whitmer Show. If you're interested, you can email Tony at knssradio.com. So, oh, and also don't forget, Saturday, December 28th, the Kansas Republican Party and the Estes campaign are having an end-of-year Christmas New Year's party. It's at 2 o'clock at the Estes campaign headquarters at Douglas and Webb. You'll want to come out. It's going to be a blast. Hors d'oeuvres, and it'll be a nice little party, a little holiday party to kick off your new year coming up on Saturday, the 28th. With us still is Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. So we're talking about the first of the year. What are your plans? What you're looking ahead? Obviously, set aside, we got a budget to deal with, but I'm sure you've got some things that you guys are looking to tackle in the new year. Can you give us a kind of a teaser?
Sure. Well, I'm really proud of this last year, working together with the council. I'm one vote out of seven, but I think we accomplished a few things when it comes to ensuring public safety. That was one of my number one campaign promises. I've worked really closely with the Wichita Police Department, specifically Chief Sullivan, who's doing such a great job in trying to recruit and retain officers. So in 2024, there were 46 new officers that joined the force with two graduations. So moving forward, we'll continue focusing on that, and I'll be very supportive of making sure that people understand what our officers' roles are, and that we need to continue supporting them. When it comes to reduction in crime, been trying really hard with Councilmember Brandon Johnson and Councilmember Hoheisel with trying to figure out how to reduce crime in those areas. They have been there have been data that shows that a lot of crime has happened in those areas, and youth crime in particular was on the rise at the beginning of the year. So we started something called Unity in the Community events to try to bring community together. That government can't solve everything.
No,
it has to
no.
be neighborhoods.
Right.
It has to be family members and nonprofits coming together to help reduce crime. And so moving forward, I see that also on the horizon. Then I'll move on to strengthening our economy. That was another campaign promise that I had, was really making sure that Wichita continues being visible as the air capital of the world. And I'm grateful that Senator Moran has been such a great ambassador for our community, making sure that everyone else outside of Kansas knows that our manufacturing here is top notch. Our workforce is really focused and great. So I'll continue focusing on that, working with them. Then really it's about restoring trust in City Hall.
You know,
it's about increasing transparency.
If I can tell you one thing on that, I had, just as an observation, as an outsider, I will tell you, this council, with you as the mayor, just the optics, the way you get, we haven't seen any paper being thrown over partitions, the jabs, the interaction, and you got, not to say that you have had an easy workload, because you've had record-setting meetings, you've gone, you've moved to the evenings, which was, by the way, another campaign promise, so you've worked longer hours, you've had busier days. And yet, despite the workload, it seems like you're getting along better. You're more the whole council seems to be getting along better. The camaraderie is there, even though you disagree. I mean, there's clear differences. Trust me, anybody who watches can tell. But it's more amicable. There isn't the sniping. There isn't the petty malarkey that we saw. And I think that starts at the top. That starts with the mayor. So kudos to you for at least bringing a little bit of statesmanship to that. It was well deserved. I made a comment in one of my carry-on commentaries last week. We significantly upgraded that office.
Well, thank you, John.
November.
I think that we have very spirited debates, and I think that that's where we need to get back to. In America, we can have disagreements on how we feel we need to be moving forward, but I think that when you see it from the bench, we have debate that is respectful at the end. We might not agree on everything, and that's okay. But we are very respectful of one another. And at the end, we take our vote, and then we move on. And then we try to work together on the next thing. So I think that you're seeing that from our bench, and I hope that that translates to the rest of the community, that we are elected to ask questions of staff. We will be challenging, but really it's about questioning bureaucracy and holding them accountable. And as electeds, that's our job. And I think that when we know that that's our role moving forward, we'll continue asking questions, whether it's the parking agreements that have not been enforced since the 1990s to now. I will continue being community's voice, and I will continue listening to the people.
Well, and you know, other than the fire union, which, you know, by the way, that was a joke, and I'm glad that worked out the way it did. So I had never any doubt. Mayor Wu, thank you again for joining us. If folks want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Just contact me, lwu@wichita.gov.
Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you again. Stick around. We'll talk with former presidential legal advisor John Eastman. We'll be back right after this.